This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
It's really for Matt just kind of come out here and have a good day and then move on. Like, that's just work hard, have a good day, move on. He's got to this place very quickly. And that means some really good things have happened, right? And it also means that hasn't played a lot of baseball at some spots, right? That's just the situation. All he can control is to go out and have a good day, and that's what he's going to keep trying to do.
Mulliott Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Excuse me. That is the voice of Craig Counsell, the Cubs manager, and he's right. That's kind of the way you do it. You just keep going one day at a time and keep getting better, and off you go.
Managers are good at that, compartmentalizing, looking ahead, not getting too far ahead of themselves. Taking each day as it comes. We're getting a lot of feedback, pushback on the text line about being grumpy old men complaining about PCA.
I don't think you asked me a question. You want to know what I thought? And I thought, I just hope he can play his way through that haircut. That's all. Or the hairstyle or whatever the paint.
Yeah, it's not the biggest determinant of his success or failure, but I think it's fun. And I'm sorry if I asked you the question.
Yeah, I'm blaming you.
Yeah, okay, blame me.
I didn't. It's not like
I brought it up.
Mully's got a beef.
I didn't bring it up. You show up to camp like that, you're asking for this kind of attention. So the biggest, broader point is that PCA is ready to be the consistent everyday center fielder that he was purported to be when they traded for him. There was a Javi Baez deal. People will remember that. Came from the Mets organization. A lot of expectations surround him. He is terrific at this part of the job. He's a great communicator. He's an entertaining young man, and he's an easy guy to pull for. And when he shows up like he did at camp, yeah, you notice. You bring attention to it.
312-644-6767. Phil is in Lombard. Hey, Phil.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to communicate that I feel like this Cubs offseason has been a failure. I think we all knew, and Jed and the Cubs brass should have known, there was three things they needed to take care of in the offseason. One was getting a closer, which I think we have, but, again, we missed on Tanner Scott. You know, we could have went and got the best on the market, but we didn't. We got somebody who actually was removed from that position last year. So, you know, we don't really know if he still has it. Number two, we needed a big bat in the middle of that lineup, and we needed some consistent play at third base. Now, he could have taken care of two of those with one swing of the bat by getting Alex Bregman, which he did not do. He passed on Pete Alonso just because he had a cheaper option at first base in Michael Bush. It just seems like they're always trying to, like, you know, pull off the incredible move. Like, boy, are they smart. And it's just not working. Instead of doing the obvious, so now here we go again into this season, again, with what we think is a closer, but we're not sure because this guy's been removed from a year. We don't have anybody at third base. If they really thought that much of Matt Shaw already, they wouldn't even have been looking. So, yeah, again, just kind of disgusted.
Thanks, Phil.
I
don't agree with that. I mean, I honestly think they've gotten better in the bullpen. They brought in a lot of guys, and they'll sort through it. And I think they're going to be okay with the closer position.
Phil's a good Cub fan, but I do think it's a bit pessimistic.
Well, here's the other thing. I think Kyle Tucker was a really good acquisition. I think he's going to do a lot of damage. And I think their outfield defense got better, even losing Cody Bellinger, which you can argue about whether or not you wanted that to happen and that was necessary.
Well, I did not want that to happen. Well, I'm still mad about that.
That's why I said that.
And that okay, thank you for triggering me.
I'm just saying, I think they are in a good position in their division, and they got a little bit better while everyone else got a little bit worse.
And that's where we're back to. And I think that's the point where we start the season, because we were close to talking about the Cubs in a different context. Get Alex Bregman, and I think we're talking about them being, you know, the team that would be most likely to challenge the Dodgers. I'm not going to say they would be better than the Dodgers. That's ridiculous. There's nobody better than the Dodgers. But if the Cubs had gotten Bregman, I think they would have been in a position along with the Braves and the Phillies, perhaps the Mets, but in that kind of group. Now, they didn't get him. We can debate all the reasons why. We can argue over that if we want. But I think now, realistically, they are still the best team in that division. And they are still favorites to win the NL Central. And they are still likely to get into the tournament. And that is now recalibrating your expectations if you're a Cub fan. At least that's my opinion. I don't think it's as pessimistic as Phil's presented. The offseason has been somewhat disappointing in that
there's less certainty than I thought there would be.
You didn't get Bregman, and there's less certainty.
Yeah.
But I also think that Phil is forgetting one big thing. They traded for one of the best players in baseball.
And a guy with an expiring contract that will be motivated to make sure he's paid as such when the season ends.
That's usually the way it works in pro sports. So as much as you have every reason and right to, not going to tell you how to view this season, Cub fans, because I get it. I totally get it. But I say that we have not really, and we have time before the season, but Kyle Tucker is here. King Tuck is something to celebrate.
Oh boy. Yeah, let's hope he's not Friar Tuck. But, don't you kind of hope that the Dodgers fall on their face a little?
Yes, I do. I hope they trip and fall.
That,
and
they're like, they and they're right. They
get
are
all the closers.
So talented, but
they got depth
they
upon
got
depth.
Everybody, yeah, and they got everything.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You just kind of hope it all blows up on them somehow.
Yeah, you kind of do.
I don't know why. And baseball's a weird game where different things can happen and different things can go wrong. I'm tired of them already, and they haven't even begun the dynasty.
They kind of have begun the dynasty.
Well, they won last
year. They won last year, so they are in the position that to win again this year. It is baseball. There is great variance in the playoffs.
That's beautiful. Dan will be here at 10 to talk at us about that.
But I get all the negative vibes with the reaction to Bregman and the swing and the miss.
Right.
But I don't feel like, as disappointed as I remain in the Bellinger transaction, I still think the Cubs have had reason. They've had an offseason that gives them reason to believe they're better than they were last year.
Listen, they've cycled through a lot of third basemen here, right? We kind of
you called it the boogeyman position.
Well, it kind of became that.
Kind of became
it?
That. The curse of Chris Bryant.
There you go. And even became that for him. But
where's he now?
Yeah, I forget. Witness protection. But I, honest to God, I think that Matt Shaw, if he's half as good as some of the reports on him, and we got to see it happen, but it might not be as bad as it was laid out.
I think Shawzy's got a chance. Okay.
Did you just call him Shawzy? Wow. What is going on in the world?
I'm in hockey mode.
Shawzy. 312-644-6767. Ray is in Plainfield. Hey, Ray.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
Good, Ray.
So I want to talk a little bit about the deferrals. I think the average fan doesn't realize that even though the player doesn't get that money right now, the team has to put that money in a fund every month.
Right.
So when they say, oh, the Cubs could just defer the payments and they have plenty of money, well, they're paying that money anyway. So it's still coming out of their pocket every month.
Yeah. It's a way of getting one of these massive deals done. And if you're going to get a Shohei Ohtani, don't you kind of have to go the deferral route? Because who can give him that kind of money on a
$70 million
basis?
A year would be tough to take out of anybody's budget.
Yeah.
You have.
And instead, it's like this sweetheart deal where everything's pushed off down the road and you can. You still have to put the money in so that it can grow and it's there for him.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is that, you know, it allows you in your budget to operate with a lot more certainty in what you're doing than having to just pay through the nose every week.
It's a conversation that maybe more teams are having now in the wake of the Ohtani contract last year. In the wake of maybe the Bregman contract this year, I don't want to pretend to know how all 30 teams are doing their business because I just don't.
Right.
I think we have alluded to two very high profile signings that use that mechanism because it was something that helped them get the guy they wanted.
That's it, and not be taxed, like crazy in baseball, right?
Right.
But the Cubs are spending more in payroll than any other team in the division, so they should win the division, yeah?
We're back to that.
Well,
yes.
And I'm just saying.
That's fine, though, as a starting point. It's not fine.
No.
You want more.
It didn't work a year ago.
But that is where they are, and that is what is expected, and that's the standard we'll hold them to. They should win the division. You have to make the playoffs.
They also should be landing one of these big players.
At some point. Maybe next offseason it's Kyle Tucker. And maybe after a season in Chicago, that is the way that they go. And
if that's the plan, then everybody would be on board, right?
Yeah.
But is that the plan?
I don't know that it is. I don't know that it is.
It feels like the plan is to keep bringing up younger guys and keep getting cheaper, and then eventually you become like the Baltimore Orioles, and you got all these great young players, and you didn't have to spill a ton of dough to do it.
I agree.
What are you laughing at?
Dustin.
Oh, what did he
Dustin
say?
Asked for this social media tweet making me look like PCA. And asked and answered. They delivered. Oh, and now he has that to laugh at and chuckle at. Thank you, Dustin.
Where do I find that?
Thank you. At CHSN Twitter feed.
Stand by, Chicago. I'll retweet it.
It's a radio show. We don't have anything to show.
It's a radio show that's with pictures
that's
now.
That's true. Okay.
Welcome to 2025.
Well, thank you very much. Anyway.
I'm not finding it. It's very upsetting.
It's okay. It'll be out there soon enough.
Okay.
All in fun. But you're right.
Here it is. Coming your way.
Coming my way. I've seen it. It's dreadful. It's a bad look for PCA and for me. Although I do like that. Dustin challenged you to do that to your own scalp, and you kind of declined.
And somehow I got
the brunt of it.
Thanks anyway. Yeah. I would prefer not to look like a complete clown,
mm-hmm.
personally, but others have different ideas.
Did PCA explain the three-star look? Have we heard from him yet? We haven't, have we? I don't think – maybe he'll be on Inside the Clubhouse.
I was just going to say.
He seems to be a regular.
People are afraid to talk to him.
No, he's not. He's never going to be accused of being shy.
David, this is something. Holy cow.
I did not actually do that to my hair, obviously, as you can see.
Yeah, looks like you did. Did you agree to this, or did they surprise you with it?
I don't have to sign a waiver. I did not agree or disagree.
I mean, all I know, and I'm not kidding around, I was once working at the Chicago Sun-Times, mm-hmm. and the guy in charge of the sports department decided when they signed, who was the reliever the Cubs signed? His nickname was Jason. They put a picture of him. It was like the best artwork we'd ever had. Mm-hmm. It was on the back page of the paper, and he was wearing a hockey mask while pitching. And it looked like he was wearing a hockey mask. It mm-hmm. looked like you had dyed your hair. And I think he got fired over that.
Nobody's getting fired over this.
I'm just saying.
Nobody's getting fired. Nobody.
Difference between newspapers.
Yeah, I suppose.
But you approved of this?
I wasn't asked about it. They surprised me with it when we were talking about PCA during the segment, and they next thing on the screen was a depiction of me, as you see on Twitter.
It's very well done.
And then there was Cameron Smith, and then Brooke Fletcher as well.
Do you actually do the show, or is it like AI? Are you just sort of imposed upon
it? I actually do the show. Does it sound like I'm doing AI?
Well, I don't know.
Do my takes sound
now
like they're AI?
Now that you're approving of this.
I'm not approving of anything. This is all in fun. They don't have to ask my permission to put something out like that. It's kind of fun. I was a little surprised.
It's only fun until someone gets fired.
Nobody's getting fired.
Back in the day, it happened. 312-644-6767. Our buddy John is in Joliet. Hey, John.
Good morning, guys. You know, first of all, why did the White Sox keep going to the Goodwill for baseball players? They haven't even played one spring training game yet, and I'm already constipated of White Sox syndrome. It is mind-boggling, guys. I mean, these guys aren't even hitting Mendoza line with their batting average.
John, what are you so upset about? What happened?
He doesn't like that they signed Joey Gallo.
Is that it?
Or Taylor. I mean, I just don't understand what it is that they're doing other than just filling holes. I don't know. I just want some
John, as you know, what they're doing is they're waiting for their younger players to come up. They're waiting they're trying to hit the fast forward button, so they're trying to give themselves cover so they only lose 100 games and not 121. I mean, I think we know what they're doing. They're not putting together a team that would make the playoffs. They're not putting together a team that would win 80 games. They're not even trying for mediocrity. They're waiting on the guys that they've acquired, and they're trading away their best players, and they're hoping to be able to be good eventually.
John, you're entitled to your outrage, always. And the Sox are hard to figure, maybe, or disappointing, but these guys are placeholders.
That's right.
Joey Gallo, he's a placeholder.
He's not even a placeholder yet.
He's just in a minor league contract.
That's it.
If he makes a team.
Right.
If he makes a team, then best case scenario, he hits 20 home runs by the All-Star break and you flip him, or even 12.
Right.
And you flip him. Michael A. Taylor, the A was for available. He was out there, and he's a major league defensive outfielder.
What is it, a $1.95 million contract?
Reasonable.
1 year? I'm just saying that's not really.
It's a relative pittance.
We're sitting here talking about guys making 50, 70.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
You have to have guys who have done the job before. You have to be somewhat competitive. The biggest, this will sound crazy, I think, the biggest question about the White Sox isn't necessarily will their position players in everyday lineup be competitive at a major league level, but their pitching.
Well, that's the real problem.
They're basing their entire rebuild on young pitching, and I applaud that, and I think that there's reason to be excited. But it's so young, Molly, that I don't think that it's ready to be counted on as a strength, and a lot of those guys won't even be on the major league team yet. They'll have Cannon. Drew Thorpe, we got an update from yesterday.
Yeah, that was not a bad update. I mean, just saying.
It's encouraging.
Encouraging.
But again, those guys aren't going to be ready yet. So until they are, you know, you have Martin Perez, you have different guys who will fill in. But I don't know how competitive their pitching or starting pitching will be.
They stumbled upon a pitcher in Crochet that they weren't really counting on, and he ends up being the opening day starter, having a great year, and they turned him for actual players. They brought in Eric Fetty. You got a lot more out of him than you thought you would, and they moved him for next to nothing. So I don't know what this is going to look like. You know, they've got a couple of really good young pitchers, highly thought of in the minor leagues, that don't seem ready yet to come up. And so you're right, they've got guys that are kind of, you throw your hands up. The strength they had last year is they found a couple pitchers who actually helped them, and now they don't have them. So what if they're not as good? I know that drives everyone crazy, but I just wonder what they're going to look like. I have no idea.
I'm not sure a lot of people do, except for they're just a feeling that it can't get worse.
Well, and I understand the feeling because it was so bad. And the other thing was, let's be honest about it, they managed to change managers, and they got somebody in here that you hope has a future in that position, and they're going to grow together, him and Chris Getz. But you can't help but wonder, as you talk about this stuff, they got seven guys back from the staff that was here a year ago that helped them to 121 losses.
Yep.
And I mean, I'm not blaming any individual people or anything, but it's not like they redid, not the entire staff, they redid the manager, which is a very important position. And I don't think it's too much to expect the current guy to be better than the guy they had to fire.
I think he will be.
Yeah, I think he will be too.
We'll talk to Bruce to see what he thinks.
Yeah, we'll bring Bruce in next and we'll run it by him and see what he says about it. Mullion Hall on the Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Baseball. Bruce Levine.
It's great to talk some baseball.
Score Baseball Insider, covering the Cubs and White Sox for more than 30 years.
Bruce Levine is a newsbreaker.
Inside the Clubhouse co-host.
Great being with you, talking baseball.
Bruce Levine.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
See, Bruce has the first hard question.
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always fun to talk to Bruce Levine, and he joins us on The Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Hey, Bruce, how are you?
Guys, yeah, it's starting to be a regular habit. Every morning, same time. This has been great.
We like you, Bruce.
You guys.
We like
yeah.
it. You've got tons of information. What do you have today for us? What are the Sox doing with Joey Gallo?
They're buying time. Buying time. That's what they're doing with Joey Gallo. You know, a guy that has tremendous power, can play some corner outfield, strikeouts a ton, hits a ball 450 feet. Actually a good outfielder, good base runner, good ball player. I think he hit 170 last year. Next?
Well, I was genuinely surprised that he's only 31 because, I mean, we've obviously seen him. Feels like he's been around a long time. And I think that is there anything wrong with signing Adam Dunn if you don't pay him, right? So it's not a lot of money. And if the guy is striking out too much, does it matter? And he hasn't even made the team yet. So it's interesting.
You know, there has to be these guys. Even though most of your talent this year on the field, you want them to be guys that have futures. They don't have those position players all in place yet. They have a really good infrastructure as far as pitching goes. And if they have any semblance of health at all, you know, throughout the season, I think you're going to see a lot of improvement there. But position player wise, you know, you still, you know, you have Benintendi, who had a good comeback last year in the second half, even though nobody noticed because of all the losing. You have Robert that you hope regains his skills as an all-star player. And you have Vaughn, who needs to step it up to show that he's a better than the average player. But beyond that, you know, you're just developing, and you hope Montgomery is ready for the big leagues. Position player-wise, they still need a lot of depth.
Bruce, what did you think of Jed Hoyer's concession speech, and why are the Cubs not more active in discussing deferrals?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious. They're still paying deferrals, okay? So they're still paying Jason Hayward. They're still paying John Lester. Is it like $50 million a year? No, but it's about $5 million a year for each. So that in, you know, for an owner looking at that, that's still payroll, you know, for him. He looks at it and goes, you know, we have to pay this money out. So even though it's not on the CBT and they're not looking at it that way as a baseball president or general manager, the owner does. So that's, I think Tom Ricketts is going to be here today to address the players like he does all the time every year since he bought the team. If we get a chance to talk to him, I think that's a great question. Why no deferrals? What's your philosophy? Because, you know, that impacted the way they approached Bregman, there's no doubt.
I read somewhere that he's not planning on doing any news conference, that he's got a very tight schedule and he's just coming in to talk to the players and then heading out. So it's my understanding that you won't hear from him. I hope I'm wrong, but I read that somewhere.
No, that's what I heard the other day, but things change, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there was this big attempt by the front office to get this player. They went to Tom and Laura and asked them for the money to go over the budget. They said yes. You know, maybe he is interested in talking a little bit about the philosophy. So we'll see if he takes 5 minutes out to talk to the media today.
Jed Hoyer said the Cubs likely are done with big moves. What does that mean to the roster? And if they have small moves, what is he talking about or what do they need, Bruce? Because I think that if they go into the season with this group, they're still missing either a pitcher, as we discussed yesterday, or depth, quality depth at third base.
Well, third base, center field, first base. I mean, they don't have a center fielder on the team other than PCA. I talked to Council the other day. He said he's not going to move Ian Happ over to center field for any extended time if PCA is not in the lineup. So there's, you know, Canario is in a year where they can't option him anymore. So if he doesn't make the team, he goes in a trade or something like that, but toward the end of spring training. So they really need a quality backup center fielder, a quality backup first baseman and third baseman. They have work to do, and I think some of the money that you talked about, whether or not the Cubs are still going to spend money, some of that money is going to go toward these type of players. As you said, depth. I believe the Cubs left somewhere between 4 and 6 games on the table last year because of a bad bench. And we know how many games they probably lost because of an inept bullpen in May and June of 2024. So I think continuing to fortify this team and letting Matt Shaw have an open run at third base, I think that's what we're looking at right now.
And I think that the bullpen, they've made a ton of moves, made a big effort to improve their bullpen. I don't know how they're going to sort through all these players and who will end up in what part of the bullpen, you know, what their exact roles will be. But it feels like if they trim those blown saves in half, it's going to be an awful good year.
I think you're right. You know, again, that was, you know, their downfall. They didn't hit and they didn't pitch in May and June. That was it for them last year. So look, Ben Brown, Jordan Hicks, very important pitchers, young guys that had to go down last year. Brown is a power arm out of the bullpen or steps up to be a starting pitcher. They're both going to get stretched out. Like starting pitchers in spring training here and be ready to go. So that having that kind of depth along with some of the veterans that they brought in, you know, the Colin Rays and people like that, I applaud them on paper for what they did in the offseason, yeah. But they're not done.
I'm not applauding the paper, Bruce. I'm a little bit skittish about the faith being placed in the starting pitching depth before those young starting pitchers have proven anything. And I think that when you look at this Cubs season, you want to be optimistic. Can they win the division? Yes. I still think that as much as we talk about what they didn't get in Bregman, I do still wonder if they're a starting pitcher short of being the kind of team, complete team you want to be.
Well, I think that's a very lucid thought on your part. That's something that the front office and council and the coaches all talked about all year long, the fact that they're not counting on the ERA for the starting pitchers being what it was last year. They're not counting on Wrigley Field playing as big as it did and helping the pitchers last year. And I've said all along from last year on, you know, this year, you need one power arm in the starting rotation. I really believe that. A good pitcher, but somebody that throws something more than 92 miles an hour. And that's pretty much their staff. They're good pitchers, but they're not dominant pitchers. You know, Imanaga was dominant last year, except for, I'd say, 4 starts where he gave up, you know, 10-run games. I think he was one of the most dominant pitchers in the National League. But second year, dominate Wrigley Field, wind blowing out a little bit more. You know, I think he's still going to be good, but I don't necessarily think the numbers are going to be the same.
I want to go back to that. They are not counting on Wrigley playing as poorly as it did to aid the pitchers. So
yeah.
Does that mean that there isn't certainty? Or have they done anything to ensure that they get more hitting out of Wrigley? I mean, it seemed like it was always a hitter-friendly park, and I don't know what it was. If there was some billboards put up, some signage, I don't know what it might be. But it did feel like it changed dramatically last year.
It did.
And we heard that complaint from a lot of different players, and the numbers supported it. Have they changed anything to make it more friendly for hitters?
Yeah, they got Kyle Tucker.
Okay.
That was number one. But I don't think you can change the ballpark or predict the weather. It was just the second worst home run year in the history of Wrigley Field. The Cubs hit the fewest home runs along with their opponents at Wrigley Field in history. So with those things in mind, is it just one of those oddity years, or, you know, is it something that, you know, you're looking at permanently because of El Nino changing weather, things like that? I would just say that I think Wrigley Field's a vastly overrated field when people say it's a home run haven. It is probably 15, 20 times a year. But the rest of the time, you know, it's a big ballpark. It has the longest foul lines in baseball, 353, 355. It's a triples park. It's more a triples park than a home run park. So from all that, you know, they are trying to fortify that pitching because they're not counting on the pitchers getting as big of an advantage as they got last year.
Bruce, big picture. So you mentioned Kyle Tucker. In any way, and we addressed this a little bit earlier, or alluded to it, the possibility, in any way, is the decision or the failure to get Alex Bregman related to possibly a pursuit of Kyle Tucker? Are they in any better position, maybe that's a better way to put it, to pursue Kyle Tucker at the end of the season because they were unable to land Alex Bregman?
Well, let's see how Tucker hits at Wrigley Field. I know people will say, well, how is that going to be a predictor? It is. It was when it came to Bregman. Bregman has an OPS of 1270 at Fenway, by far the highest OPS he has anywhere in baseball. That factored in to where he wanted to play and continue his career on a track maybe toward the Hall of Fame and helping a team win. So when you look at that, and you look at this season here, and you see how Tucker fares at Wrigley, see how he fares as a teammate with everybody else, and how he likes the experience. It's going to start with a 4, okay? Every year, it's going to be 40-plus for Tucker if he has his usual 30-home run, 30-stolen base season with the Cubs. And, you know, automatically, you're down to what, 5 or 6 teams? That's about it.
Yeah, I got a feeling the $10 million extra dollars had more to do with where he signed than whether or not he has good numbers in the ballpark, right? I mean,
well, he didn't take all the money on the table, Mike.
Why? What do you mean?
There was a $171 million offer from Houston.
Yeah, but
not from Houston, from
Detroit.
Detroit.
Yeah,
but if you look at the breakdown of the contract, he got $40 million a year for 3 years, kind of guaranteed, as opposed to, you know, what was it for 7 years? You know what I mean? Like, I think he did better than he would have done with taking
a
longer
contract.
That's
projecting, but you're projecting him being a better player, as good a player 3 years from now. And continuing to get that
kind
of money.
Well, next year, I mean, if he can get $40 million a year on a longer term contract next year.
Yeah,
right.
Let's just say he's going to be okay. He already made $100 million
right
before this season.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, not too worried about it, but I do think the Cubs did all they could within reason. I don't think anybody believed, you know, $40 million was an appropriate number for Bregman at all.
Great stuff, Bruce. Thank you.
Thanks, Bruce.
Guys, have a great weekend.
You too.
That is our guy, Bruce Levine.
Very interesting stuff from our guy, John Heyman. Looking forward to talking to him next week because he tweets out, according to John Heyman, this is a Alex Bregman liked the Cubs, but Cubs ownership barely competed, offering $115 million over four and no first-year opt-out in the New York Post.
Wow.
Very interesting perception of what we just discussed and are talking about.
All right, we're going to bring in Mike Palm. We'll find out what is of interest this weekend for Vegas. What are people wagering on? What are the big sports to watch and to see? I'm very curious to know if the hockey tournament, good as it has been, is even on the radar there. We'll find out next with our man from Circa, Mike Palm.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, proudly presents the star of our show,
Mike Palm. Vice President of Operations of Circa, the D and Golden Gate.
Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Twitter, at Mike Palm Circa.
Why don't I take you somewhere that you've never been?
Where's that?
Vegas?
Let's head to Vegas with Mike Palm, sponsored by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be, with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Remember, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
I don't care if the sun don't shine.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to the great Mike Palm. He joins us on The Score Hotline, brought to you by Arturo, your all-weather tire, Arturo.com. Morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning. Happy Valentine's Day to all those listening in Chicago. First question, is Ben Johnson aware that David is now representing Alex Bregman as well?
The growing client list. Mike, what is, you know, we've talked a lot about Ben Johnson and we've looked at every wager out there. What are people turning to now that football season is over? What is the kind of the hot wagers right now that you are seeing in Vegas?
Well, in Gary Bettman's infinite wisdom, he decides to have the Four Nations at the same time as the NBA All-Star break. I mean, another genius marketing move by the NHL. College basketball is the hot topic right now. And people looking at futures, golf wagering every week continues to pick up. And, you know, once we get to the NFL draft, then we'll start to see the real futures money come in on next season.
What was the overall takeaway from the Super Bowl experience?
Well, so we did very well on the game. We needed it for the future book, so it was a great result for the Eagles. I mean, you pretty much can say when the Chiefs lose, it's going to be good for the books. I mean, in Nevada, I don't know if you guys saw the numbers. The overall right in the state was down 20%.
Wow.
Which we were down about 15, so less than the overall state. But the hold was 14%, which is almost unheard of. And we held about 10%, so it was good. For the props, it was about a push. We won a very tiny amount. We lose to Hurts MVP. I was surprised. I really wasn't aware of this. Cooper DeJean, anytime touchdown stunned. You know, and if Cooper DeJean would have been the MVP, it was like $1 million in liability for us. I wasn't even aware of that. Obviously, Barkley going under the rushing total was good, and we won to that. We did a nice ride on the squares, and we won to that. So I have to say, the party's filled up. You know, there weren't long waiting lists like there were last year, but eventually they filled up. DLB, you know, last year we had 11,000. We still had 8,000 people at the outdoor venue. So it was a great event, and, you know, the Eagles were his dominant team.
Why do you think that the numbers were down a little bit? I mean, you know, it was a great game and all that. I mean, it was a total blowout, but it was a good matchup going in. There just wasn't the same kind, and maybe it's because of the three-peat thing, but there wasn't the same kind of buzz just around here during the week. And I'm wondering if that had anything to do with how popular the college football playoff became. It was almost like, I don't think anyone ever gets sick of the NFL, but it was, there was just so much going on for weeks where oftentimes you're just waiting to invest. It just seemed like it was, you know, that's a lot of action.
That's an interesting theory, Mully. I really hadn't thought of that. We had so much extra football. Nonstop, and that there, I guess there was some Chiefs fatigue. Like if you talk to the people that were in Vegas, you know, who are you cheering for? They said, well, we're cheering for the Eagles because we want anybody but the Chiefs. And I just don't remember, like, having fatigue of dynasties before. I think people appreciated extras. I don't remember people, you know, saying, oh, the damn Lakers are just too good, or the Bulls, nobody wants the Bulls and Jordan. People appreciated excellence. I don't know. Maybe our society is different now.
Will the NBA All-Star Game create a lot of interest?
Zero. It's like the All-Star contests have become all zeros. The only thing that creates any interest from a betting perspective out of any All-Star breaks or weekends, whatever you want to call it, is the Home Run Derby. That's the only thing we write anything. You know, the Pro Bowl is just a joke now. The NBA All-Star Game is a joke. And the NHL, they used to play 5-on-5. You know, that's a little bit, but very little, minimal interest. The Home Run Derby writes about 5 times as much as the actual All-Star Game itself, but we do good handle on it. That's the only thing that people care about from a betting perspective.
Is there no betting interest at all in this Four Nations Cup? Because the hockey has been pretty good. The games have been fairly compelling.
No, there has been. It's just there's so few games, right? There's 14. You know, one game, two games, and
right.
a championship.
Right.
And it's sort of the inevitable. I mean, who wins America-Canada the second time is going to be the champion. It looks, to me, you know what was very interesting in studying these rosters, because I wanted to make a wager on it, is the amount of lack of goaltending depth in Canada, and what have they been doing the last 30 years to develop goaltenders. It's really quite shocking. You know, in 2000, that 81% of the goaltenders in the NHL were Canadian, and this year it's less than 20%. It's been a total flip. So I think the U.S. has far superior goaltending, but to me, visually looking the last 2 nights, the Canadian team looked much faster than the U.S. team.
Thanks, Mike. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Mike. Great stuff.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That is Mike Palm, our man in Vegas, Circa boss. Good stuff all the way around. I'm interested in, I'm sure you are making an investment in that hockey tournament.
I'll be watching. I haven't decided yet, but I won't miss it.
Bet the Tkachuk brothers. That's what I was told. Oh, wait a minute. No. I just made that up. We got Jared Payton joining
us. Jared Payton, 9 o'clock. Darren Pang after that.
Yeah.
Full hour ahead.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.